giving them this command. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give.
Right.
Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, neither nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Mm-hmm. We have parallel verses in Luke 10, 2 through 9. And then Luke 22, 35, and he said unto them, when I sent you out with purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? They said, nothing.
Nothing.
Hallelujah. I'd like to just speak for a few minutes tonight on the subject, the fundamentals of faith.
All right.
Now, the subject of faith in years past has become a little bit controversial because of some teachers, and they have, I believe that in some ways they have sought to try to help Christians to have faith and not to doubt, to believe God for physical healing, to believe God for material benefits, and there is truth in that. But I think that faith goes much deeper than that.
Right.
And there are things that certain teachers, known as the faith teachers, have forgotten to teach us about faith.
Yes.
And so I would like to speak to that tonight.
All right.
Lord Jesus Christ told us, told his disciples, rather, that they needed to go out and to do the ministry, to take care of his work,
right,
to preach the gospel.
Right.
And he told them not to carry extra things out with them. He wanted them to learn how to live by faith.
Well, sure.
He wanted them to learn how to trust him,
right,
to trust God. And that's what the Christian life is all about. It's all about trusting God. And if we don't learn how to trust God, not only for physical healing, not only for our material needs, but also for many, many other things. In fact, everything that we receive from God, I believe, is received by faith. Your salvation is received by faith. You've got to believe that God can save you. You've got to believe that the atonement of Jesus Christ, his procurement of our salvation on the cross of Calvary, is enough to provide us with a salvation, enough to purchase for us the forgiveness of our sins. No matter how deep in sin that we might have gone, no matter how far we might have gone down deep into sin, we need to have faith to believe that the Lord can forgive us and set us free from our sin. Hallelujah. I had to believe that for myself. I had to believe that even though I was a long-haired, pot-smoking, rock and rolling, cocaine-snorting, LSD-dropping little devil, that even God could save me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Right.
That's what a wonderful Savior we have. He can take those that are in the gutter of sin, in the pig pen of sin, and He can save them. He can deliver them. He can purchase them back from the devil. He can bring them out.
Yes, sir.
And we, most of us, have gotten to that level where we believe that God can save us.
Right.
We've got to believe also, we've got to have faith to believe for our sanctification. We've got to believe that it's possible for a Christian to live holy in this life. Most of the church world, Protestant world, Catholic world, Orthodox world, they don't believe that it's possible in this life, before the grave, before we get a glorified body, before we go to heaven, to live a holy life. But it's commanded in the Word of God.
Right.
Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. 1 John 3:7.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Right.
So many that I've spoken to, witnessing to, and trying to teach that we can have victory in this life, that we can have victory in our sanctification, that we can live holy, that we can be victorious in this life over our souls, enemies, that we don't have to be a dupe of the devil. Seduced by Satan, led astray by Lucifer, conned by the king of cons, and live a defeated lifestyle. We've got not only got to have faith for salvation, but we've also got to have faith to believe that we can live a victorious life this side of the grave. But most Christians, those that make a profession of faith in Christ that I have spoken to, don't even believe that God can deliver them from sin in this life. From willful sin, from transgression, daily transgression in thought, word, and deed. They don't believe that God is able through His power, through His omnipotent power, to give them strength, to give them ability, to give them that new character, that new life, give them the Spirit of God that they can live a holy life. You've got to live that way. You've got to understand it. Come to it by faith. You've got to believe it's possible to live a holy life. Before you'll ever do it, you won't ever do it if you don't think that it's possible. If the devil's children can be as dirty and nasty and wicked as they want to be, and I know that, I live that by experience, then why can't God's children be as holy as God wants us to be? The devil's a fallen being. He was Lucifer, but because of pride, he fell. He's a limited being. He's only got limited power. And the Bible teaches that one day the devil will be chained in the bottomless pit, and eventually that will be put into the lake of fire. One day the devil is going to be destroyed. And his influence and work and manifestation in the creation of God is not going to be working against it.
Amen.
He's limited. The devil's children can be as wicked as they want to be. We don't argue that. Why can't God's children be as holy as He wants us to be? Because God is almighty. He's all-powerful. He's unlimited in His power and in His ability. Why can't God's children have enough power to live a holy life in this life? Most of them do not affirm that because they say, well, we still live in a physical body. And they refer to Romans chapter 7, and they said that was Paul's testimony as an apostle, as a Christian. No, it wasn't. He's speaking in the present tense of his life before, as a Pharisee, before he got saved. It must be that way. You can't take Romans chapter 7 out of the context of Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 8. I don't have a time to do an exposition of that tonight, but let me just give you a couple of scriptures that show what I'm saying. Chapter 6, before you ever get to 7. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How can we live in sin any longer who are dead to sin? If you're dead to something, that thing that's dead, it's not alive. It's not working. It's not manifesting itself in your life.
Hey.
And then Romans 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. In Romans 7, he said, I'm carnal, sold under sin. The things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. That's a life of defeat. That's defeat. He's speaking in the present tense. You see, many 20th century Christians try to translate the Bible through a 20th century American mind when this Bible was not written by Americans. This Bible was not originally written in English. This Bible was originally written by Jews. They wrote in their, they spoke in their language, Aramaic, but the Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek, Aramaic, Chaldee, other different types of language and literature. And if, unless you understand the context Unless you understand their type of literature, you won't be able to understand the Bible. It's not that difficult. It's not impossible. Take all the Scripture within the context of itself. You can't know Scripture, not one verse is of any private or singular interpretation. You've got to get the verses before it and after it and in the context of the chapter and in the context of the chapters before and after and in the context of the whole book, in the context of whether it's in the Old Testament or New Testament, in the context of the whole Bible. Paul said, I exercise my conscience to be void of offense before God and man. If you're void of offense before God and man, you're living a holy life. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What? Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Now how can you be walking in the Spirit and be carnal, which means flesh, sold under sin? The two things don't come together. But He was speaking in the present tense. The Jews had a type of literary device that they spoke in the present tense about a past condition in order to make it more meaningful. I'll give you another example. Paul used this example. Paul used this literary device. I'll give you another example. Look in 1 Timothy. In chapter 1. And verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I am, that's present tense, the chief of sinners. What does it mean to be chief? In the original language, it means to be first. It means to be preeminent. It means to be above all others in that position. It means to be the boss. It means to be the head. It means to be the greatest. So let's say that Paul is speaking in the present tense here, and he's writing 13 books of the New Testament, and he's the chief of sinners. That means he's the chief deceiver. He's the chief liar. He's the chief adulterer. He's the chief he's the chief murderer. He's the chief liar. He's the chief of all sinners. That means he's the worst sinner in the world. There's no sinner in the world worse than him. How can we believe anything Paul says? How can we trust him? How can we just got to throw out 13 books of the New Testament? Well, does that make sense? Certainly not. What's the key? The context. Read the verses before that verse. Verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. God committed the glorious gospel to the trust? God trusted the chief of untrustworthy people? And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was what? Before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious. He persecuted the church. He was the chief persecutor of the church of the living God. He was public enemy number one of the church.
Yep.
And Paul, thinking about all the evil that he did and injurious things that he did, working against God, working against the Lord Jesus Christ, it was so profound to him that he said, of sinners I am chief. No one that I can think of committed greater sins than I did, but not as the apostle. Certainly not. Hallelujah. We've got to have faith to believe that we can live a holy life. You can't use the Bible to excuse sin. If you're cruising, surfing through the Scriptures, looking for excuses to be a devil on earth and a saint in heaven, you won't find it. Most of the church world is living that way, is believing that way. Why? Because that's the way they've been taught. Their teachers have taught them that. Their teachers have instructed them that way. Against it. And so they have no faith to believe that it is possible in this life to live a holy life. You'll never... Let me ask you this question. Is heaven holy? Yes. Is there any sin in heaven? Dwelling in heaven? Certainly not if we take the words of John speaking of Christ. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 5, this is then the message which we have heard of him and declaring to you that God is light. In him is no darkness at all.
Amen.
And so, if we're claiming to be Christians and we're walking in sin, we're living in sin, we're practicing sin, we're sinning every day in thought, word, and deed, because we can't do any better than that, it's impossible for us to live holy in this life, and I die, am I going to take my sins into heaven that's holy? Am I saying that I'm in Christ and not living a holy life? Certainly not. Most Protestants very strongly contend with the Catholics about their doctrine called purgatory, a place after death that you must go where your sins get purged and cleansed. That's what purgatory means. It means to be cleansed of sin so that you can be cleansed completely before you can go into heaven. Yet I maintain that most Protestants must have a purgatory of some kind, because they claim that they're living in sin and they die that way and they're just going to go on to heaven. So somewhere between heaven and earth, somewhere between this celestial globe and that celestial city, this earthly globe and that celestial city, there is a place of cleansing. Now, I believe in purgatory, but the purgatory that I believe in is right here and right now. We must get purged. We must get cleansed in this life.
Right.
We've got to have faith to believe for a holy life. Perfection is what we are commanded. We must also have faith to believe for the provision of God, that God's going to take care of us. If we take a stand and live for Jesus and we decide that we're going to live for Him 100%, that's a true Christian, we're going to have to have faith to believe that God is going to take care of us. God is going to provide for us. Even though we live in a world that persecutes us and hates us, and I've been fired from several jobs for being a Christian, you know, I believe that the Christian is the most persecuted person on planet Earth. 7 million Jews are said to have died in the concentration camps, Treblinka, Auschwitz, Buchenwald over in Germany during the World War II. But they don't talk about the over 20 million Christians and believers in Christ that died in Russia. They're still killing them. What about those in China that are being persecuted and killed today? We don't hear about them. But their number is greater than those that died in the Holocaust. We've got to have faith to believe that God will take care of us in this life. God will provide for us. We need to learn how to live by faith. The Lord Jesus Christ told His disciples to go out and to do His work and to promote His kingdom. And He said that they would be provided for. They'd be taken care of. And in the end of it, He said, "Lack ye anything?" They said nothing. I ask you that question tonight. Do you lack anything tonight? Do you lack anything? Everything that we receive from the Lord must be received by faith. When the Lord called me to go into the ministry full time, the Lord showed me in a very special way, peculiar way, probably not to God, that He wanted me to stop the businesses that I was in and the different types of work that I was doing and just go into the ministry full time. See, I've been used to taking care of myself. I've been used to being taken care of by mama, by daddy, by my family, by myself, going out and working a job. But God wanted me to learn how to trust Him. for everything, for all the provisions of life, for shelter, for food, for money, for all the needs that I would have in this life. He wanted me to trust Him fully and completely. And so I was used to financing my own ministry, working in a business, and providing for my ministry that way, the needs of my ministry that way. That's what I was used to. That's what I had been doing for several years. But the Lord wanted me to go out of this business. But I thought that I would just continue in it. I didn't really understand it until I went out and bid a job. It was a good job and going to make a lot of money, work for about 2 months, and I was going to have money to go out and preach and travel around the country and minister. And I went out to this job, and I was on the job one day, got sick, and I was in bed sick for a month. And how many of you know when you get sick, when you're bedridden in the bed, sick, this is a good time to have communication with God? Hey, Lord, what's going on? What did I miss something? What are you trying to tell me? And the Lord spoke to me, spoke to my heart and showed me. He said, I wanted you to trust me. I wanted you to go out into the ministry full time. And here you are trying to take care of yourself again. So I'm just going to put you in the sick bed for a few weeks. I'll let you think about it. And so I said, Lord, I believe you're right. Hallelujah. I believe you're right. I believe I'll trust you. I believe that I'll put my hands in your hand and let you take me where you want me to go and lead me into the things you want me to lead me into and provide for my needs and show me how to live by faith. I didn't know how to live by faith. I didn't know how to trust God for everything. I was used to letting my parents and my job and different things I was trusting in that. That's what I was trusting in. But God wanted to teach me how to trust in Him. And so I decided I better just go out and try to preach. I didn't know any preachers. Didn't know that many. I didn't have that many openings. But I just decided just to step on out in faith. And so I visited a church. And one night in Oklahoma, sat on the back row. I was just going to be there. And the pastor got up and he said, all right, Brother Rick's preaching tonight. And I looked around. I thought, am I the only Rick here? Must be another one here. So you talking to me? And he said, yeah, you're going to preach for us tonight. And I said, okay. So I went up there and I tried my best and preached. I don't think I preached that good, but I'm just trusting in the Lord. And they took up an offering for me. It was about $200. And I said, thank you, Lord. And so it just went from there. And I'm not the best preacher in the world, but I was just trying to put my trust completely in the Lord. And as soon as I went out, got out on the road and began to go places and to show myself faithful, God was showing me that He would take care of me and provide for my needs. I had some preacher friends of mine that said, hey, it's tough out there. A lot of competition. Man, you've got to be a good preacher to be in the ministry full time these days. They were feeding my doubts. They weren't feeding my faith. But I said, hey, I got a message from the Lord. I had communion with God. I talked to Him. He said He'd take care of me. So I just began to go to different meetings and trust the Lord, and doors would open up, and I've never been without shelter. I've never been without food when I wanted food. I've always had clothes to wear and a car to drive and money to put gas in the car and move down the road to the next meeting. The Lord has provided in every way. Yes, He'll teach you to live by faith.
Amen. Preach, brother.
Church doors open. I was invited to preach down in Florida. Just had an idea in my heart that I would want to go to this meeting down in Dundee, Florida, down to Brother Thompson's church down there, the Faith Holiness Church. They were having their meeting in March. It was after the Allentown meeting. First year I was in the Holiness Fellowship, and I went on down there and just was in the meeting. And while I was there, I met Brother Gene Thompson. And I told him that I'd been doing some campus ministry and teaching and been to several schools. And he said, hey, if we can get you an invitation to teach the Bible in the Soviet Union in the universities over there, would you do it? And I said, yes. I mean, I'm open to basically just ministering anywhere. But I'd never been out of the United States. I'd never traveled, visited foreign countries. I didn't have a passport. I didn't even have a birth certificate on hand. So in June, I got a telephone call from Brother Wilbur Thompson. He said, Brother Rick, we got the invitation for you. Are you ready to go to the Ukraine? I said, well, no, not right this second. In fact, I started getting a little scared because I'd never been out of the United States. And so I said, well, let me pray about it. And so I prayed about 2 or 3 days and did some fasting. And the Lord showed me that he had been taking care of me and provided for me. And he'd been actually setting me up for this type of work all along. When I'd been, it was a Southern Baptist. They told me I had to go to school and get all these degrees. And I didn't want to go to school. I just wanted to preach. But I went to bachelor's degree, master's degree, doctorate's degree, one, and then two. Went to all this education. And then they decided, the Baptist decided they didn't want me anymore because I didn't believe once saved, always saved. And speaking in tongues was only for the apostles that passed away with them. I didn't believe that anymore. And so they decided they didn't want me anymore, and I decided I didn't want to be around them anymore. But the Lord provided. The Lord took care of me just by chance. I was up at Michigan State University doing some preaching up there, and met Brother Jim Gillis, and I told him my testimony and how I believed and what had taken place in my life. And he said, hey, I know a good church down in Fort Worth. So I went down there and met my pastor, Brother John David Long, and he's been my pastor for these past 4 years. And God was taking care of me, and I went down to Allentown and just happened to meet Brother Thompson, just happened to go down to Florida and meet Brother Gene, just happened to be invited to go over there to the Ukraine to teach the Bible in the university over there. It was just a coincidence, right? No. See, God works like that. God doesn't want to tell us, because if he told us, if we knew how things were going to come out, we'd tear it all up. We'd mess it all up. And so he just wants us to live by faith. And if you trust God with your whole heart and you lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways you acknowledge him, he will direct your path. He'll take care of you. He'll provide for you what you need. I'm not a rich man. I just receive free will offerings from different churches, different places. Thank the Lord that churches are helping me out. Your church is helping me out wonderfully. But I've made 8 trips to the Ukraine since 93. Taught in the university over there. 8 different semesters, evangelized, seen over 100 people saved in one service. Wasn't anything of mine. As I said, I was just a long-haired, pot-smoking, cocaine-snorting, rock and rolling little devil that God had mercy on. Hey, if the Lord can do that for me, he can do it forever. I'm not the Lord's favorite child. I was driving up here the other day, and we listened to this lady preach on the radio, and she said, I'm God's favorite child. You ever heard her? I don't remember her name. But she said, I'm the Lord. I'm God's favorite child. And she said, whatever I want, the Lord gives me. She said, I wanted to go to this Hollywood set and meet this actress and do all this stuff. And she said, the Lord just set it right up for me. I don't know what Lord's setting things up for her, but that ain't my Lord. Hallelujah. She said, we got some tickets. You're supposed to go to some Christian rock and roll concert. She said there was no seats available there. She said, but I'm the Lord's favorite person. She said, I have the best seats. And she said, I ended up on the front row. I don't think the Lord's setting that up either. Not the one that's that way. The one that's down that way, maybe, yeah. Probably. setting that up. She said, but I tell you tonight, I'm not the Lord's favorite child. I'm just one of his children. He loves you just as much as he loves me. He'll take care of you just like he's taking care of me. We got to take a stand in these last days. We got to take a stand for what's right and what's holy. We're going to suffer persecution. We're going to get fired from jobs. We're going to have bad things happen to us. We take a stand for Jesus, but he's going to take care of us. They said, the denomination I was a member of said that I was the biggest fool that ever went through their organization because I quit it. They said, you go down the tubes. You'll never make it. No one will ever want to let you be their minister. But the Lord let me go to be the first teacher of the Bible in the former Soviet Union. Not because of anything I did, but because that's what the Lord wanted to do.
Right.
And that school, that organization, is a blight. It's got a bad name. It's got mud on their face and egg on their face.
Yeah.
And the Lord takes care of his own. Hallelujah. The Lord's taking care of me, providing me with opportunities to work for him, living by faith. That's what it's all about. We got to have faith to trust in God for everything.
Right.
Protection, provision. You got to have faith to believe that you can have revival. If you're just full of doubt, it'll never happen. But if you believe this word, believe this Bible, all things, I believe, will be possible for you. Hallelujah.